You're listening to a Sunlife podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
My name is Bin. I'm the pastor of Sunlife Church. It's great to have you here on a special morning. It's our miracle offering Sunday. It's where we give above and beyond our regular tithes and offering. We are believing for a miracle. We are believing that God will speak to you during the word that I have to share. I know that many of you have come prepared to give generously, sacrificially, joyfully, and I thank God for that. This morning here, I want to unpack with you just one verse, and I titled this sermon, The Priceless Kingdom. I want to talk about the kingdom of God, why it is so priceless, why it is so valuable. And the text for us this morning is just in Matthew 13, verse 44. One verse is all we're looking at. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll get straight to the text. Father God, I pray now that you would help me. I pray now that you would use me to speak your word with clarity, with passion, with authority. And I pray, God, that we will hear your voice, that we'll be encouraged with what you have to say to us this morning. So, Lord, will you speak to us all? Will you speak to your people through me? Would you calm my nerves? Would you use me? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me read the Word of God. Verse 44, Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. If we study the Bible, if we read the gospel, we know that Jesus is a phenomenal storyteller. Jesus loves to tell stories, short, simple stories that everyone could relate to, but each story drives home one key point. And this particular parable this morning, the subject is the kingdom of heaven. That's the subject. At the very beginning, the kingdom of heaven. We know that this parable is all about this kingdom of heaven. In fact, you read the Bible, the kingdom of heaven is also known as the kingdom of God. The word heaven and God are interchangeable, and that's simply because Jewish people, in honor and reverence of God's holy name, they're very hesitant to pronounce his name. So sometimes the gospel writer will interchange the word Yahweh, God, with heaven. So when you read the Bible, you see the kingdom of heaven, it's the same as the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not a place. All right, it's not a place that you go into or go out of. All kingdom will have a king, and all king rules and reigns. Therefore, if it's the kingdom of God, the king must be Jesus, and Jesus rules and reigns. If you belong to God's kingdom, it means that Jesus is your Lord. He rules and he reigns in all situations. Like the testimonies up here, the good and the bad, Jesus rules and reigns. I love God's kingdom. Because in God's kingdom, there's no more shame. There's no more unforgiveness. There's no more unrighteousness. There's no more condemnation. In God's kingdom, we have been forgiven, redeemed, ransom, accepted, adopted, freed, loved by God himself. And this kingdom is not only now, but this kingdom points towards the rule and reign of Jesus forever and evermore. In eternity future, Jesus rules and reigns. Whether you accept Jesus or not, it doesn't matter. Whether you're in God's kingdom or not, it doesn't matter, because God's kingdom has nothing to do with you and me. Jesus will rule and reign forevermore. Whether you're in his kingdom or not, it doesn't matter. And in eternity future, you're either in his kingdom and says, yes, he is my king, or no, he's not my king, but he will rule and reign forevermore. That is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. The subject of the parable is given. It's very obvious. But what is it about the kingdom that Jesus is telling us this morning? Well, let's carry on. The kingdom of heaven, God, is like treasure. Treasure. I love a good treasure hunt. I don't know about you, but I love looking for things. When I was a boy growing up, my next door neighbor and his father would always go to the beach, like in the evening. And I'm very curious, and I'm going, why are you guys going to the beach when it's dark, when it's windy, when it's cold? And he would say, we're not going for a swim, we're going for a search. And I'm like, I'm very confused. You're searching what? What have you lost? It seems like you're losing something every weekend. You're looking for something every weekend. Anyhow, one late afternoon, I asked my parents, Mom and Dad, would it be possible if I was to go with my friend and his father to the beach in the evening? And my parents allowed me to go out of curiosity. What are they doing? What are they looking for? Why would they want to go to the beach in the evening? We get to the beach and my friend's father pulls out this machine. Now, I'm so impressed. He pulled out this metal detector. It was something I've never seen before. It was like a whippersnipper. There's a dish at the bottom and there's some kind of box. And it had lights. It had a computer screen. It was so weird. It had wires everywhere. It was like something from Doctor Who from Channel 2, right? Now, for some of you, you might not know who that is, but that's okay. It was this metal detector that they would use to look for treasures every Saturday evening. And they were smart people. They wouldn't do it during the day because it was hot during the day. Too many people during the day. They waited for people to go to the beach, drop coins, drop whatever, gold, chain. And then in the evening when everyone is gone, when the beach is kind of vacant, it's more quieter, the sun's gone, it's cooler, they would go and look for treasures. Wow, I was so excited to see this happening. But let me say that my excitement level deflated like a bouncy castle at the Royal Show, because all they found were Coke cans and more Coke cans, some coins, and I remember this little spanner. And then we went home. But I would imagine on the way home, imagine one day they knew this weird thingamajig and they found treasures. Like imagine they found one of those pirate treasure box, wooden box, and they open it and inside were gold coins, lots of gold coins. Man, their lives will be transformed. I began to imagine that. See, in the parable here, we're told that God's kingdom is like treasure. But not treasure that is exposed, not treasure that's open, but treasured hidden. Hidden that you've got to find. And there's something about hidden things. There's always an element of surprise and excitement when you find something that was hidden. Is that right? Like, I mean, if I told you, okay, just around the curtain, there is some gold coins, go and grab one, there's no joy. Because you know that around the corner, there's going to be something. But if I said to you, somewhere in this auditorium, there's a hidden treasure box. Ooh, now we're excited because we want to go looking for it. And when we find it, there's that joy. At my house, we have these Samsung TV. We've got two Samsung TVs. And the Samsung TVs have a remote control. And Samsung's, I must admit, they're getting a bit better now. They're catching up with Apple. Well done, Samsung. And you have the one remote control that you can use for both TV monitors. It's pretty cool. You know that. You have two Samsung TVs, have one remote control you can use in this room, and you can use in that room. We've got two remote controls. And we've lost them both. Don't laugh. Our house is very, very small. I don't know how you can lose things in our place. If we had a bigger house, I can justify that. You know, big house. I've lost these remote controls. I understand that. But our place is very, very small. And we've lost two Samsung remote controls. So, a month ago, I had a bit of a family gathering, and I began to ask. I started. It wasn't me. It wasn't Daddy. I did not lose the remote control. And I looked at my wife. Tran said it wasn't her. And when Tran says it wasn't her, I just agree. Amen. I looked at my boys, and both boys said it wasn't us. So all eyeballs now looked at Matilda. And Matilda's saying nothing. She's speaking in tongues or something. I'm trying to interpret it because I'm trying to find where are these remote controls. And we realize that she's hid the remote control somewhere. I don't know whether God is speaking to her about mom and dad watching too much TV. And then, I don't know. But to this day, it's been nearly 6 months. We still cannot find those two remote controls. But let me say, Sun Life Church, the day I find them, that hidden controls, the day I find them, there will be joy. There will be no more mourning, no more suffering, no more me going to the TV, turning the channel, and going back to my sofa, no more. There'll be excitement. Would you agree? Because something that's hidden that you happen to find, oh man, there's excitement. You see what Jesus is doing? He's building up this. I read somewhere that one theologian said that in the parable of Matthew 13:44, that the man in the parable was probably not even looking for the hidden treasure, but accidentally stumbled upon it. He's excited. He wasn't looking for it. And he found something that he could not believe he found. It's a miracle. I've hit jackpot without realizing it. There is this treasure box. So what does he do? Well, let's carry on in the parable. When a man found it, he hid it again. Go back. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. He found it. He hid it. And he went back and he sold everything. But notice that small three-letter word, joy. We read it fast and we miss it. In his joy, he sold everything. Everything. Just to buy that field where the treasure is hidden. In fact, you read through in verse 45, Jesus would say again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. He's looking for something and he finds something of great value. Verse 46, and when he found one of great value, he went away and did what? He sold everything he had and he bought it. Two parables, very similar. Something of great worth, it's priceless, sold everything just to buy it. This is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that my rule and my reign in your life is priceless. More valuable than everything you have. It is more precious, more valuable than all your possession that you have accumulated in this life. I see two things that we can learn from this parable. I want to explain why the kingdom is priceless. And then I want to tell us our attitude towards this priceless kingdom. Let me talk about why it's priceless. What is being offered and how it's being offered. See, God's kingdom, listen carefully, Sun Life Church, is this the ability for us to reconcile to God. For you and I to be in relationship with God, the God of the universe, the Creator God, the glorious God, the God who spoke things into existence, we have the offer to be in relationship with Him. You get to know God and God gets to know you. That's what is being offered in God's kingdom. Sometimes I daydream. I wish sometimes that I was known by Tim Keller. He doesn't know me. I know him from afar. The only Tim I know is Timothy Wood. But I want to know Tim Keller. And I think, oh, it would be great if I love Tim Wood as well, but Tim Keller's pretty good. Oh, John Piper. Oh, imagine John Piper was my mate. imagine I knew John Piper. Or imagine Brian Houston started following me on Instagram. Oh man. Oh, that'd be so cool. And I would daydream of these great pastors and leaders. Imagine I knew them personally. But the offer of God's kingdom is for me to know Tim Keller's God, John Piper's God, the God of the universe. The offer for you and I is to know God and God to know us, and that we will have this personal relationship with God every day. That God is not from afar looking at you, but God is from within you. That is the offer that we see right here. That this relationship is based on what Jesus Christ has done for us on that cross, so that you and I can be in relationship with Him. That's the gospel. That's why we do what we do at Sun Life Church. To say to everyone that God has an offer for you. It's a great offer. Come and grab it. Because you get to know this Creator God. He is yours and you are His forevermore. That's the offer. That He has saved us from eternal destruction and give us eternal life. That's priceless. And we forget that as Christians. We forget that we get to have God now. And for some of us, we only use God when we need God. But we get to enjoy Him every day. In the morning, the afternoon, God is following your tweets and God is following your Facebook posts. God is following you. The question, are you following God back? We get God. But now let me tell you how this offer is presented to us. You see, when you and I realize that we don't deserve God's love, that we don't deserve God's offer, but we get it anyway, oh man, it becomes priceless. Let me explain that. I'm going to say something which is going to be quite controversial, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I can. I don't like receiving Christmas presents from you. A lot of you guys give me Christmas presents during Christmas season, and I thank God for your heart, and I thank God, and not, I know what you're doing, but when I come to Christmas time, I don't really want Christmas presents from you. And I go to my office and I get Christmas presents for my family and my kids, and it's all over my table. And it's because it's Christmas and I know it's coming. It's not a wow factor. It's a given. Even if you don't even like me as a pastor, you'll probably give me something anyway because everyone else is doing it. Let's be honest. Because everyone's doing it, I might as well give him something. But really, if it wasn't Christmas, I wouldn't give him anything, that Pastor Ben guy. He gets under my skin. I don't like his checkered shirts. You know what I mean? Because it's a given. But what I really like, hint, hint, is a brand new car. No. It's when I receive something out of the blue. I'm not expecting it. There's no reason for you to give me anything. It's not my birthday. It's not my anniversary. It's not Easter. It's not Christmas. It's out of the blue and I get something. And I'm going, wow, I don't deserve that. I wasn't seeing that. I didn't see that coming. But I get it. A few months ago, I'm in my office and someone drops some lunch for me. Wow. I wasn't expecting that. I go out to the kitchen and there's some food for me. A little note for you, Pastor. I wasn't expecting that. And wow, I'm like, that's so good. So good. Or someone pops me an email and say, Pastor, I want to just thank you for your word because God really spoke to me through you. I didn't see that coming. I thought it was a really bad sermon. I didn't like myself. But clearly God spoke to you through me. No, we get someone who always randomly puts a Meijer voucher into our letterbox. No names. Just appreciate you. Oh, wow. I didn't see that coming. You see, when you receive something that you weren't expecting, right, it means a lot more to you. I don't deserve that, but I get it. And that's what we see right here. The reality about our salvation is this, that we were never meant to receive it in the first place. We were never ever meant to receive God's love. We were never ever meant to be in a relationship with God. But it's all grace that God would give it to us despite the fact that we're so sinful that God would say, I love you. I am giving you something that you do not deserve. You didn't expect that coming, hey, but man, I'm giving that to you. And when that happens, when you receive that offer like that, when it's presented to you like that, oh wow, it is priceless. Are you with me? It is priceless. And you say, wow, I cannot realize that I got that. I mean, what does Romans 5:10 says? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? While we were God's enemy, we did not deserve to have God's love. God reconciled us through His Son. That means that the offer now is worth more. You notice in the text, the treasure was hidden. He stumbled upon it. He wasn't looking for treasure. He was looking for something I don't know. But when he happens to stumble upon this hidden treasure and realize what he saw, he realized he didn't deserve it. He wasn't looking for it. He didn't earn it. But it was his. Man, it's now more priceless. You are stumbling along life and you don't deserve the love of God. You don't deserve the forgiveness of God. You don't deserve God's grace upon you, but you receive it. Wow. It means much more now. It means much more now. God would present Himself to you and I, not based on what we have done, but on what His Son has done for you and I on that cross. It means that, man, that is more meaningful. It's beautiful to realize that God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, was never ours in the first place, but today, by the grace of God, it is ours. It is yours, it is mine, not because of what we have done, because of what Jesus Christ has done alone. And we are part of that kingdom. That's why it's priceless. What is being offered and how it's being offered. Reconciliation with the Father, but presented with grace. What is our attitude now? What is our attitude to this kingdom? If I know that God's kingdom is priceless, so valuable, how does it change the way I live? Well, in the text, what do we notice? If with joy he sold all he had in order to buy the field. What is Jesus saying? Listen carefully, Sun Life Church. It's very important. That if you and I were to sell off all our belongings, if we were to lose everything, we lose our superannuation, our house, our cars, our holiday home, our travel, our career, our family, our kids, our lives. If we were to lose everything but still have Jesus, He is worth it. That's what Jesus is saying right here, because my kingdom is so priceless that if you were to give away everything and still have me, it is still a better trade-off. That's what Jesus is saying right here. That our joy is not found in this world, not found in what we have or what we do, but our joy is found in the one we have received, and that's Jesus Christ alone. That's the message. That's how we respond to God's kingdom. Even if we were to give away everything, let everything go and still have Jesus, He is all we need. I know for a fact that it's very hard to let things go if it's still valuable to us. Trust me, I know that. I have a household full of things that I'm still holding on to. I can't get rid of it after all these years. I go into my shed and I see it and I'm like, I know it's been there for the last 5 years, but I can't get rid of it. I'm going to hold on to it again, and then maybe next year it will come to good news. Come on. Am I preaching to someone? I've got some old clothing that I've had for the last few years, and I'm still holding on to it, and I'm praying, and I'm prophesizing, and I'm believing in the name of Jesus Christ that will come back in fashion. I claim that. still hasn't happened yet. That TV, you know, that TV that you bought 15 years ago, yes, the 32-inch plasma, yes, I know you paid $4,000. It's broken. Let it go. But the other side says, no, I paid $4,000 for it. It was my first flat screen 32-inch plasma. I'll fix it one day and give it to the church because the church really needs a plasma 32-inch screen. No, it doesn't. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. You see, what happens is that we hold on to things because we think it's valuable. We think it's still important to us. But isn't it true if someone came along and says, I will trade you for that. I will swap you for that. Isn't it true that if you know that what is being offered to you is more valuable than what you have, it's a no-brainer to trade it. I can let it go. I drive a little Hyundai Getz hatchback. Little Hyundai Getz, little silver hatchback. Let's just say one of these days, one of you here decides to swap your Golf GTI hatch with mine. Or do you think I would say, no, 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 you know, Daniel goes, Pastor, I love you, Pastor. Daniel, I may be prophesizing here, brother. I don't know. Pastor, I know your little hatch is a bit old, but my red one, GTI, is so fast. Let's do a swap right now. I wouldn't say, no, Daniel, no, I like my car. I'll hold him to it, you know, it's not a nice trade. I wouldn't say that. I would say, thank you, Jesus. When can we go to the Department of Transport? Can we go right now? That's what I would say. Because I know that the trade is so good. You see, in the parable here, Jesus is saying that the man, he saw the hidden treasure and he realized it was far more valuable than all of his possession. So letting go of what he had was a no-brainer. In fact, he was so joyful to say, well, take it. I mean, the kingdom of God is so priceless that if I was to trade everything that I have to have God's kingdom, my friend, it is a far better trade-off. Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, but first seek. Come on, seek first the kingdom. Seek first his righteousness. And then all these things will be given to you as well. And Jesus says that we are to seek his kingdom first. And I'm not saying to you that you are to go and sell all your possession and come to the church and work for free. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this, that our joy, your joy and my joy must be in God and not in this world. And what I'm saying to you is that we may have much or we have less. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. What matters is that we have God. For some of you here, you're struggling. For some of you here, you're going, well, it's later on, it's miracle offer. I don't have anything to give. It's not the point. It's you have God. You're part of God's kingdom. What I'm saying here is that we are to love Jesus, to treasure Jesus, to have him as our prized possession, our highest treasure, our ultimate joy. That's what I'm saying. That his kingdom is far greater than all of our possession combined. You're part of his kingdom, Sun Life Church. You and I. So as a church, we can make a difference. Now, as a church, I really believe that we can be sacrificial to live this one life that God has given us so that we can see this city of Perth transform. Later on, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to what God is saying here. I know that God is the one growing this church. I know that God is up to something really, really special here. I know it. He's told me. Look at the opportunity we have right here in this building here. We've been here for about 4 weeks, but look at the opportunity that you and I are going to have to see so many people come to know him. We are not here for ourselves. We don't exist for ourselves. We're here for those who don't know Jesus yet. The opportunity we have during the week, I was talking to our pastor, and he said to me, Ben, I don't know you, but I heard about you. Tell me, where's your church? And I said, it's in Leaderville. He's from South. He's from Mandurah way. And he said, I know Leaderville. Where in Leaderville? I said, Oxford Street. And he was blown away. So you're telling me God has placed you on Oxford Street? That's the one street I know in Leaderville. And you've got a church there? I said, yeah. It's got nothing to do with me. It's got nothing to do with this church. God is up to something wonderful. And I know it. And I have one life. You and I, we only have one life. That's it. There's no second chance. One life. And we don't know when this life is going to end. So I have one crack with you. And I look down and I see an army here. And I say, let's do this together. Let's do this together, Sun Life Church. Let's see this church be a place where people are saved, where people meet Jesus Christ, where lives have been transformed for the glory of God. We have one chance. Will you do it with me? I see that. I believe that God is going to do a great work. You look around here, you see all the volunteers, people like Reed and Jamie and Ken and Tao working together. That's a miracle in itself, that we are doing something for God's glory. If you don't believe in a miracle, look at this building. Look at this building. This is a miracle. The capacity for us to have 350 people in this auditorium, that's a miracle. That we can grow over and over and over again. That we can begin to plant campuses north, south, east, west, and see many churches like Sun Life in the city and beyond. I see that. The school right here. We've got some teachers from that school in our building. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. I had a chat with the principal during the week, and he's excited for us to be here. That's a miracle. Tiny Treasures, our playgroup, I'm hearing that they want to go and give the love to the elderly at the retirement village because they are needing love from young ones. That's a miracle. I want to see homeless people fed here. That I want all the homeless people in this part of the world to know that there's a place that loves them and embrace them, and we don't care what they think about themselves. We know that they're valuable and they're in the image of God. We're here to love them. Sun Life Church, we have one chance to do this. God is up to something special, and I really believe it, and I need you to believe it with me. I need you to run this race with me. So I'm going to ask you to give generously and joyfully. I know that some of you've been praying. I know for myself, my family, we've been praying. We know what we're giving. Thank you so much that you've prepared yourself to come here to give generously and joyfully. For some of you, you maybe haven't prepared yet, but maybe God has been speaking to you through the Word of God this morning. Maybe God is saying to you, you know what? My kingdom is far greater than all of your possession. Are you putting your possession above the joy that is found in my kingdom? Is God speaking to you this morning? So we're going to have a chance to respond. Respond. It's a sacrifice. I know it's a sacrifice. I know for my family it's a sacrifice. For some of you, maybe this is a sacrifice of not having that extra holiday in the year. Or not upgrading your phone or your car or that extension at home. It's a sacrifice, but what matters to you will matter to God. It's a sacrifice. So I don't know what God has been saying to you or speaking to you right now, but I said to you earlier on that I have a heart, and I'm praying that God is going to do a miracle in this church.